morning and welcome in to the Captain J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Charlie. We have got Shay. We got you here on this Deal Breaker Thursday. The story broke while we were in our 7 o'clock hour regarding Brittany Griner, the WNBA superstar released by Russia in a one-for-one prisoner swap with arms dealer Victor Bout, according to the White House. And so Brittany Griner, on her way back to the United States, we've been waiting for this story. And I'll say this, Cap, you know who would not let this go? Women would not let this go. The WNBA would not let this go. Some of these stories sometimes just fade away because they're not an A or B story. If they're not on one of the sports channels, it's not really talked about. But they continue to support Brittany Griner through this, saying, we want her to come home. And so now Brittany will be with her wife, Sherelle, and they'll be back together for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, God bless that she is coming back here. And the United States had called her wrongfully detained, and then the war in Ukraine broke out, and of course we've been against that, and so it was just a mess getting her back here. But they were able to make an exchange, and whatever that exchange was, at least she's going to be, they said within 24 hours she will be back in the United States. So good for her. Glad she's getting out. I just hope emotionally she's in an okay place, because they said the penal colony that she was assigned to, horrific. Mm. They don't have rights like here. There's no, prisoners' rights. No. So hopefully she's okay.
You know, I'm looking forward to finding out her side of the story. What she went through.
Yeah, when she does the 60 Minutes interview or whoever, someone's going to get a great interview that everyone's going to want to hear.
So keep our eyes on that story, especially when she arrives in the United States. And meanwhile, we turn the page and take a look at what's happening here in the offseason with our teams. Cap and I, if you're listening to us for the first time, we grew up, it's so funny, I grew up on the South Side, Cap grew up in Skokie. We have a lot of the same things that we really love. We both grew up loving baseball. It's never going to leave our veins. It's always going to be there, because the one thing that we could always depend on as kids in the summer is baseball being on the TV.
Correct.
Or radio.
And your dad was a Sox fan.
Yeah.
My dad was, boys, why can't you, because my brother's a Sox fan, why can't you root for both teams? You're from Chicago. No shot, Dad. I'm a Cubs fan. Bruce, I'm a Sox fan. And we would go at it. Now, I'm like, it says Chicago and the Jersey. We're not in the same division. I'm a Cubs fan, and if we play you, I hope we beat you 100-0.
Yes.
But why would I root against you when you play the Tigers?
Yeah.
That's just stupid.
Yeah, I've never been anti-Cub unless you take on my White Sox team in those crosstown classics.
Fair.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
I'm not anti-Cub at all. I'm pro my team. That's where my energy is. It's a team that means the most to me in Chicago, the Chicago White Sox, growing up 20 minutes from the ballpark and going to games as a kid and obviously as an adult. And so what we look forward to, Cap, is what's going on in spring training, and then you get to the season. It's a long season, but you want to see something positive from your baseball team, and you want to be able to be repaid for your loyalty, right?
Correct.
And so when we see what's happening on both coasts with the Yankees, with this big deal for Aaron Judge, we see what's happening with the San Diego Padres and the New York Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies and the Texas Rangers, I will ask again, here we are in the Midwest, what's happening with the Cubs and the White Sox, in which you're keeping your money in your pocket for the most part? Where's that splash deal? It's one thing to make a deal.
Correct.
Clevenger deal, Taillon deal. But where's the splash deal here for either Chicago sports team? For the Cubs or the White Sox?
Again, the Cubs say they have offers out to a bunch of guys. And they do have an offer in on Carlos Correa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We just saw overnight that Xander Bogaerts is off the list, that he has signed an 11-year, $280 million deal with the Padres. Now comes a report from Alex Speier, who covers the Red Sox and does a very good job. The Red Sox were $100 million light. $100 million!
Yeah.
So while the Yankees are giving $360 million for 9 years to Aaron Judge, the Red Sox are letting one of their best players go to the West Coast, to San Diego, and they were it'd be one thing if you go, yeah, we offered $300 million and he just wanted to be in San Diego. Okay, that's fine. You tried. Go get somebody else. The Padres offered $400 million for Judge. Nah, I'm going to stay with the Yankees. Okay. They offered $343 million to Trey Turner. Nope. I want to be out east. That's where my wife and I are from, the east side. We're going to go to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They didn't stop. Okay, get the next guy up. That's Xander Bogaerts. I want to hear that the Cubs have, if he picks someone else, that's fine. I do not want to hear, well, we offered 8 years at $270 million. That's a lot of money. Well, if he gets $370, it's not.
It's a long way from the sports radio back in the day that thought that the Nolan Ryan $1 million deal would be the sports apocalypse,
mm-hmm.
that the sport would collapse by giving out million-dollar contracts. Long way away from that, isn't it?
Correct.
Think about that kind of money. And so what comes to mind, I'm sure, for the average fan, Cap, is where are these teams getting this money? Well, how come the Pirates can't spend that
$12 billion in revenue. Billion in revenue last year in Major League Baseball.
But
$12 billion business.
But the Reds and the Pirates of the world and, you know, some of these other teams that are in the middle, Kansas City, are probably wondering, like, how come we're not spending that kind of money?
Well, the Padres are.
Right.
And that's a small market.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Here's what I'm hearing. The White Sox are planning to break camp at this point in time unless something else presents itself. They are planning on playing Romy Gonzalez. He's 26 at second base. In the minor leagues last year, Romy Gonzalez played 138 games. He hit 8 home runs. He drove in 20 and he hit 232. In the minors, this year, in the majors, he came up and he played 105 at-bats. He hit 238. That's who you're going with. And you tell me you're in to win the World Series? My ass. And then Oscar Colas. He's one of your better prospects.
Mm-hmm.
He's never played a game in the major leagues. Oscar Colas is going to be the answer in right field. That's who they're going to put there. Oscar Colas is 24. He's Cuban. And he's played in Japan before. Oscar Colas this year. What do you think Oscar Colas hit in the minor leagues? Oscar Colas threw three different teams, hit 314 in the minor leagues. At the highest level at AAA at Charlotte, he had 7 games. He had 51 games in AA, hit 306. And that automatic, he's going to start in right field on a team that thinks they can win the World Series. And then they'll try and upgrade in left with potentially Joey Gallo. What did he hit? 208?
For maybe a 1-year deal?
Yeah.
See? That's when you're not really serious.
You're not serious about winning. Now, the Cubs claim they are and that the green light is open. We have green smoke. It can spend. Okay. I'm waiting. Don't tell me that Cody Bellinger on a reclamation project and Jameson Taillon, and we're good. No. I better see an offer of $350 million to Carlos Correa.
And if you don't?
Then you better get Dansby Swanson. And if you don't, then you're not serious about winning.
Well, I think that sentence is true, that the Cubs are not serious about winning just as of yet. I know the difference between the two ball clubs. Because with the White Sox, we talk about pillars all the time, right? So Tim Anderson is one of those guys. And Dylan Cease is one of those guys. And Lance Lynn is one of those guys. And Liam Hendricks is one of those guys. There's a number of guys that are difference-making players in the White Sox. The thing is that this lineup has been so clunky without left-handed power. This is what you get when you have injuries and you have an imbalance in the lineup. This is what you get. You get 81 and 81, right? Whatever, La Russa to the side. The ball club was supposed to be ready to win. La Russa was there to tighten the screws, and it just didn't happen. And so now you're going to go with a first-year manager in Grafal. Okay. But, you know, again, him to the side. Do you have a roster that's good enough to compete in the American League Central?
Compete, yes. Compete in the division.
Yes.
Do you have that's not what you built this thing for.
No, it's steps, though. Can you compete in the division? Now can you compete in the American League?
No.
Okay.
Did when they traded away Chris Sale,
yeah,
and Jose Quintana, mm-hmm. and Adam Eaton, and all these other dudes, and lost, what, 98 games? You, Johnny Sox fan, you were promised we're going to build you something special.
Yeah.
And remember Rick's quote? When they asked, you think you win a World Series? We're not trying to win a World Series. We're trying to win multiple World Series.
Yeah.
Really? And I'm not blaming Rick. He can only write the checks he's allowed to write. You think Rick wanted to sit out the winter meetings? Or Kenny, who keeps telling everybody, I'm still in charge around here. Okay, Kenny, if you're in charge, show me.
He may not want to sit out the winter meetings, but he sure set out the deadline with Jake Diekman. That's what he did. That's all.
But again, was he allowed to do anything?
Well, can I just tell you, I can't be in the chair if I can't be able to generally manage the team. I'm just telling you.
I don't disagree, but if someone's paying you whatever they're paying him, and there's one of 30 jobs, and you do not have another one knocking down your door.
I get it.
You're not walking away going, yeah, I'll just work over at Starbucks. I just can't, a good principle, take this job. I get it. I'll figure a way out. I'll do this. Billy Beane stayed in Oakland a whole long lot of years and has never had a chance.
Cap, can I just tell you, the Sox fan in the western suburbs, the Sox fan that's in Beverly, the Sox fan that is on the south side in Dalton and Calumet City, the Sox fan, whoever's listening, does not care about what Rick Hahn can and cannot do. What they, because they're busy. They got family. They got friends. They got stuff to deal with. And all they want is 3 hours of enjoyment. And they want to see their favorite team be at the top or in the mix for the World Series championship. No matter how it gets done, no matter what red tape is going on over there, if you're standing still, you can't do anything. And the White Sox at this point in time are standing still. No, I mean, only you and I and those that are on the inside know what's going on with this White Sox team internally. But on the outside, when you go to the games, you just want to see your team win, man.
Agreed.
That's all it is. And, but to the average Sox fan that's listening right now, and we're telling them about what's going on with Kenny and Rick, hey, listen, man, no matter what, that fan wants to go to 35th and Beck and see that team win. They have enough players to be able to get that done, but you add on. This is my problem with the Cubs after 16. You just assume that you just bring him back when his team couldn't get three runs or more time and time again. You just assume. You don't have to add anything. This team's going to get healthy. This team's going to get fat again and be able to get another World Series. You never assume in this game. And for the White Sox to be able to roll out with the same team without making wholesale changes, Cap, wholesale changes. I told you, I embrace for them to be able to make changes to this roster with popular players. And that means Giolito and Aloy, I'm all for it, as long as this team gets better. But just standing still saying, we have enough, or we tried. We tried really hard, and we could not make a deal, or we couldn't make a trade. Screw that, man. No one has time for that. People will find other things to do if you're just going to stand still and just put an average ball club out there every summer. That's not good enough. Not in this city.
Agreed.
Never. It's never good enough.
And on the north side, today. Now, again, we could hear the breaking news sounder run today, and they got Correa, and they got who? Wow. All right. But as of right now, 9:14 and 45 seconds, Cody Bellinger and Jameson Taillon, not enough.
I understand.
Disappointing.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll take your phone calls coming up. How comfortable are you with the Cubs getting Correa if it meant a record-breaking deal? We'll take your phone calls on that. And the White Sox also still to come. Something that Charles Barkley said we never thought we'd hear on the radio. We'll get to that coming up on Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Crosstalk with Black and Abdallah coming up at 10 o'clock. Carmen Yurko at 12. Waddle and Sylvie at 2. Tyler Aki will be in for Black and Abdallah at 6 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Cap, you remember the deal with Jason Hayward?
Yes.
Okay, so when you saw the amount of money that he was making, it's an 8-year deal?
8 for 184.
What was your initial reaction? I don't think we were working together at the time.
We were not. That was in 2016.
What'd you think of that?
When I heard it, I was like, good for them, man. If they've got that kind of money, go for it. And he was an ascending player. He was 26 years of age, the whole deal. So I was like, all right, let's go. So I didn't have any problem with it, and I thought they do nothing but print money over there.
I always think that just from our city, just in particular in Chicago, that you should be shopping at the top shelf. I never believe that we should always be in the middle or the bottom shelf just getting just anybody. I just don't like when our teams or the front offices of our teams just take us for granted. That I mean, we are a loyal fan base. I don't care what side of town we're talking about or what sport we're talking about. You start winning, we'll remember you forever. We exalt teams that didn't win the championship. So you know we're a loyal fan base generationally.
Correct.
So this is why when we talk about the Correa deal or others that be coming to the Cubs, I mean, so this would be a record breaker past the Hayward deal. I'm trying to figure
out. Oh, God.
And I'm trying to remember the
Sox.
It'd
be double the Hayward deal.
The Sox, most money that they spent on the
player. $73 million on Grandal. It's the most they've ever spent.
Now, at the time of that deal, I said, boy, that guy better be Carlton Fisk. And guess what? He's far from it.
Right. They can't wait to get rid of him.
Right, exactly.
But nobody's going to take him.
Right. So think about the amount of money that have been doled out for, again, we mentioned Hayward and now Grandal. I mean, well, first of all, it's clear the Sox won't be on a deal like the Correa deal or even the Judge deal or what the San Diego Padres are doing. But I will ask you, what about the Cubs? I remember when Judge was available and he said, well, Judge is definitely not going to be a Yankee. You know, at least looks like he was going to turn the page, whether the Cubs would spend that kind of money on Judge. Now, I'm always very suspicious about deals that are 10 or 11 years for any ball player. For one baseball player?
Agreed, but I don't. The Cubs could have literally put $400 million on the table for Judge.
Yeah.
He wasn't coming here. He never left New York.
Yeah.
So people are like, well, why didn't the Cubs get Judge? He wasn't leaving. They offered him $400 million for an extra year to go to San Diego. He literally left $40 million on the table to play where he wanted to play. So he was not coming here. It was not going to happen.
Now, again, it's one thing for me or you to wish for our favorite team to spend money to be able to get upper echelon, top-notch players. It's another thing, especially on the Cubs side of the ledger, for them to be able to find a player and you say, okay, we're going to spend this much money on this player, $400 million on a player. Because that player has to consider, okay, if I come here, what am I getting? I'm getting loyalty from the Cub fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to get paid. I'm going to be with the team that's on its way up. But as I mentioned to you before, someone's got to be John Lester. Someone has to be the linchpin to get all this thing started. If you're the Cubs.
The linchpin has to be that the core that you're building is there. Because otherwise, John wasn't coming here.
Well,
wasn't coming just because I'm going to go to Chicago. He looked and went, Rizzo and Baez and Bryant and Schwarber and Addison Russell and Wilson Contreras. All these dudes are coming.
A lot of arm twisting on the part of Theo, though, because that was not automatic.
No, because he had to buy in that these young kids were going to be good players.
Mm-hmm.
And they were. And they won the World Series. And he was part of something special. And John has said publicly, on the record, that had the Red Sox not screwed that up and made a bad offer at the start and then traded him to Oakland at the deadline, he would never have had the guts to leave Boston. He said, I don't like change, the whole deal. I would not have left.
Okay, so here's something I want you to consider. I'm not telling you how to fan. I will never do that. But something that you could consider. Say, for instance, there's another ancillary deal or two by the Cubs. They got Tyone. I think you don't find it as important as I do because I think that guy could be your third starter. I don't know what Hendricks is. I don't know if you get the same Hendricks moving forward. I have no idea after this injury. The hope is, if you're a Cubs fan, that he's able to still get it done with Cunningham and Guile and moving the ball around and be effective.
Right. I love Kyle Hendricks. He's a wonderful person.
How about the pitcher?
He's had a good career, but I don't know what his shoulder's going to be like. You can't count on that.
I like the Tyone deal, though, for that reason.
Solid. But you, you've got to go get one of these shortstops. You have got to be standing up there going, this is Carlos Correa. He's going to wear number whatever, and he's a Cub for the next 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell me I don't like 11-year deal. And I know I was talking with different friends of mine, my brother. I'm not giving anybody 11 years. Okay, then sell the team. That is where this system has now gone.
Well, you know, Jerry's not going to do that. I mean, he had to twist his arm just to get John Danks signed for 5 years. And by the way, Jerry was right about that.
He was the
John Danks deal. He didn't want to give any starting pitcher a 5-year deal. You see how that worked out?
Correct.
I got one blackout game against the Twins.
But don't tell me. Yep, we are going to pass on Carlos Correa. We offered him 6 years for $240 million. We'll pay him a higher average annual value. But well, then you're $100 million light. This is his chance to hit a home run.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, if this is what the Cubs do, along with a couple of ancillary moves, you won't be happy knowing that you're not ready to win? And even if you got a Correa, for instance, okay, you're closer, but it's not where you really where you want to be.
No, but their system is about ready. At the end of this coming season,
mm-hmm.
you should see Pete Carr Armstrong, your number one prospect, up here. There's a handful of other guys. There's pitching coming. You should get a star now and keep building this thing mm-hmm. and keep adding on. You don't get any of them? Well, we don't want to go to that type of commitment. Well, then you're not serious. Then stop telling the media, we're trying to win this year. We're trying to compete, the whole deal. You're not if you don't get one of them.
It's just difficult.
You failed.
It's a difficult thing, Cap, in 2022 in this market, in our city, for you to just be middling or not trying to go for it. I'm not asking for a billion-dollar payroll. I'm not asking to be the Texas Rangers. Even though I'll take my hats off to them, where are they going, I don't know, but at least they're showing a financial commitment to winning.
Correct.
They say, we're in Dallas, and we're going to do something here. We're not going to just keep... We have this brand-new stadium with nobody in it. We've got to put some stars in here. You know, we can't compete against the Cowboys. We can't compete against Texas football. But damn it, in the summer, we're going to take care of this. We'll put some stars in here and try to do something. I don't blame them for that. People are laughing at the Rangers like, well, at least you're trying. You're trying to do something here.
Right.
So I appreciate that. But in this city, Cap, that on both sides of town, if you're not really trying to do something to try to catch up with the Joneses financially, that won't get it done. For the Padres to do what they're doing, as I mentioned, the live golf of sports, the live golf of baseball, as much money as they put in that product, man, they're going for it. They're saying Dodgers versus Padres. You know, it's an arms race. It's us against you on the West Coast. Let's go.
And now
Angels out of it.
I was talking to Gordon Whitmire last night, who I love. He said, "Oh boy, the Giants, they didn't get Judge. They're going to go full guns after Correa." So?
Right.
That was my response. So what?
Right.
Well, they're going to be tough to beat. No. You're the effing Chicago Cubs. Mm-hmm. Stop acting like we're in Kansas City or Detroit. How much? Scott. Well, he's got 11 at 350 from the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold my beer. Here's 12 at 380.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second.
Yeah.
You've got nothing but money or... Stop telling me we're trying to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where the industry has gone.
Danny, come in here for a second. I got an idea for you. Bring Danny in. I got an idea for Danny. Come on. Yeah, come on. He's always it's amazing. We bring him in. He's always sheepish. Mr. Content doesn't want to provide content. Come in here. I have an idea for you. Bring it. Turn on his mic, will you, pal?
There you go.
Got an idea for you. Ready?
Why are you always
looking at me suspiciously?
Listen, because you only bring me in here when it's something that's going to make me uncomfortable.
No!
You don't bring me in here to be like, hey, we'd like to talk about Justin Fields and how great he is. No, I get brought in here last time to see if it's a deal breaker, if I want to date a girl who wants to have sex 5 times a day. Go ahead.
My friend, would I do that to you? Would I put you in an uncomfortable position? Would I do that? I would never do that to my friend. I would never do that.
Okay.
This is something on the up and up. I have an idea for the football team that you coach.
Okay.
I have an idea.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Do you know Bucky Brooks from the NFL Network?
Yes.
I think you've booked him before.
Yes.
You know him as well, right?
Yeah.
NFL Network. You know, he coaches a high school football team. I saw this on LarryBrownSports.com. High school team playing for the state title has not completed a pass all season. Think about this. This is Granada Hills Charter High School in the Los Angeles area. It's set to take on San Marin in the Division 4A CIF State Football Championship on Saturday. The Highlanders are 12-2 this season, Danny, and they've advanced to the state championship despite not completing a pass. Granada Hills, coached by Bucky Brooks, in an age in which it's about passing the football, all this, they are a run-heavy team. They are 0-for-7 throwing the football.
But they made it to the championship without throwing the football.
Yes.
Sounds almost like Justin Fields-ish early this year.
Or David Montgomery.
I want you to think about that. You get to a state championship and have never completed a pass. 0-for-7 all season. And they're 12-2.
How old is that coach? Is it an old school, like...
Bucky's like...
Herman Boone from Remember the Titans? They had four plays.
Bucky's like our age.
Yeah.
In his 40s, 50. Yeah, and he played in the NFL.
Because he said Bucky was a coach, but you were tweeting.
No, I heard the whole thing. Okay. I know exactly who he is. Gotcha. Worry about that. There's a lot of old school guys that do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it here.
Yeah, I just think I'm suggesting not to put the ball in the air for your football team because it's so good anyway.
Yeah, but his kids are 9.
You can do it. Your team's fast.
Listen, I don't want to open a Pandora's box here, but the offensive coordinator on Avery's football team over in Glenview, the Glenview Titans, knew less about football than that old lady standing in front of Chick-fil-A right now waiting for the bus.
There was
supposed to be a head coach named Ryan Weed. His son weighed too much, so he got moved up. So
he's a striper? Yeah. That's what they call him, right?
Well, no.
He was too heavy?
No, it was because of it's like age and weight. There's an algorithm, and his son was just too big. We talked about him. Was the boy that hit the home run on Avery's team, Miles.
When I was there.
Yeah, he's too big for playing with third graders, so he had to go play with fourth graders.
That's what happened to my son.
So he got moved up, so we had no head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy volunteered to do it that had no clue what he was doing. We would have been better off just handing off the ball 150 times.
Yeah, my son had to wear a stripe on his helmet because he outweighed too many people.
Well, there's the weight, but there's also so it's age and weight. It's like a weird algorithm. I would take this to him, Hoodie, but he doesn't really listen to anything anyone says.
Okay. Well,
but can 9-year-olds really throw the ball successfully?
Yes, of course.
Really?
At 9, they could throw a football. I mean, it's not a huge football. They're not playing with an NFL football. It's like a kid-sized football. And we play some of these teams where they could throw the ball. We had a kid on our team, Cooper. He could throw the football.
They have not successfully thrown the football for a completion all season and in the championship game. Think about that. In the high school level.
But I'd love to know
how good's the defense?
Yeah, or what's their O-line like?
Probably the Bears of 85. Probably got Jimbo Cobra.
85 Bears defense.
No, seriously. Seriously, that offensive line must be like, you know.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Or they just have a kid that's running the ball that's untouchable.
Yeah.
Like if they've got like 6 hoodies and they're blocking Danny, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Their running back had rushed for 2,600 yards, 32 touchdowns.
Go look up
205 a game.
Well, they got Derrick Henry back there?
Seriously. I'll send you the article, Danny, but this is an idea. Your team's so talented. Let's just run the football and see if we win a championship. It's awesome.
Bucky's a very good analyst, too. I'm like, he knows his stuff.
Yeah. So there you go. I'm going to send you this article. It's on LarryBrownSports.com. Speaking of Danny, he's going to put money in your pocket in 1 minute right here.
By the way, Larry Brown Sports, a great free newsletter every day. Great.
And you missed the article?
Every day.
Danny's going to put money in your pocket in 1 minute. And also, Charles Barkley said something surprising on Wallen Silva. You're going to hear that. Coming up next on Cap'n Jay Hood.
The conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Whoops, whoops, whoops.
Cap'n Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find Peggy and Dion. As they always say, I don't know, we'll figure it out. Every Saturday morning you catch Peggy and Dion. You catch the podcast available on the ESPN Chicago app. Charles Barkley, he spent time with Waddle and Sylvie. We talked last hour about Charles Barkley and his comments about the Bulls. Bulls need to blow it up. Why, Charles, should they blow it up? Should blow it up. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
But he also talked about...
It was
about,
in depth.
I mean, just
it was such an entertaining interview, though.
And that's what he does best, Cap. Entertainer.
But our guys, Waddle and Sylvie, did an awesome job.
They always do.
Give them credit because they not only do they, you know, do a good job with the interview, they've developed a rapport with him where he's comfortable.
It's a great guy.
And that's not easy, folks.
No.
It's not. Not with a person of Charles' level.
That's true.
So they deserve a ton of credit for that.
Shows you the kind of nice guy he is and that he will come on. And every time he comes on, he says something that tweaks people, triggers people sometimes in a good way from a sports standpoint, right?
Correct.
He's always doing that. So I heard his thoughts on the Bulls, and I just said, huh, there he is, entertaining the people again.
Correct.
Okay, blow up the Bulls, and then what's the answer? There is no answer. He just says blow it up because the team's under 500.
Because it's time.
Okay.
I would wait, as I said to you. In January, though, if it's the 20th and you're not getting Lonzo Ball back and you're under 500 significantly and there's no hope, you got to start thinking what you got to do.
I'm not going back there. I remember those dark days. Sorry.
So you just want to be mediocre. You're not trying to win then.
Of course I'm trying to win. But the answer is not always cut and run. So I keep telling you. You always think the answer is to be able to just this tank and go backwards? No. You don't just cut and run. You try. We can't sit here every morning and talk about what we want for free agency and for the draft and then just say, well, once you go through a little adversity, just unplug it. How 2022 is that? You do something about it. But, you add on. You do something about it.
Just because you say it with conviction, there's nothing you can do.
Okay, Cap. But I'm not going back to the lottery if I can help it. That's me.
But I don't think you can help it.
Yes, I
That's
can.
That's the problem.
Yes, I can. I just don't do it. I just don't unplug the roster. That's me. You asked me my opinion.
Okay, so
that's what I would do.
Okay, so if it's January 20th and you're 11 games under 500, 9 games under.
Yeah.
And they say Lonzo Ball's out for the year.
That's more like, by the way, I don't miss someone I don't see. The reason why we don't talk Lonzo Ball on the show is because we don't see Lonzo Ball. Oh. We got no information on Lonzo Ball. I couldn't care less.
Okay, so your boss walks into you and says, Jonathan, you're the president of basketball operations.
A lot of ifs.
What are you doing about it? There's no ifs. I'm putting you in that role. What are you going to do about this? Our team is terrible.
Well, there's nothing you can do except try to add or make a deal, but not a deal that's going to unplug the team and make it tank. I'm not doing that. Absolutely not. Just because Charles Barkley says it or just because the Ringer writes it doesn't mean that's what I'm going to do. It's so easy to just quit and just fold your card. Oh, you know what? We're not going to be the Golden State Warriors today. We'll just cut and run. Screw that. That's nonsense.
But I don't think I'm not telling you to cut and run. I'm telling you, might have to unplug some of your veteran stars and get that money off the books and start getting younger assets in here.
So then when you go from there, what do you think that's going to be? When you do that, what do you think? You think you're Milwaukee after that? You're not.
Correct.
You're Orlando. That's my point. I'm not doing that. Not doing that. It's so easy to do that. I'm not doing that. This team has talent. This team's got to be able to play better. As soon as you go through a little adversity, you know what? Since we're not going to be Phoenix or we're not going to be Boston or Golden State, you know what? We should just unplug this thing. Get LaVine off the books. Take LaVine off the team. What's the Bulls? Nothing. Take DeRozan off the team. What's this team? Struggling to get in the playoffs. Barely. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I don't think they're getting in the playoffs. And just understand, the longer you go middling around under 500, the less value your guys get as they get older.
I will just tell you that any sport, especially the NBA, the NBA is not based on just the Celtics' success, just Golden State's success. Ultimately, you're just telling me like teams like Atlanta or Brooklyn or teams like Denver, for instance, it's always a bridesmaid. Teams like Utah, you know what? You're not going to be at the top of your conference, so just unplug it. No.
And by the way, when Utah let go of
Donovan Mitchell
and Rudy Gobert.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone went, well, they're going to be horrible. They're tanking for Wembanyama. They're actually not too bad. They're not too bad, and they've acquired a bunch of capital and got two huge contracts off their books.
Well, that's a proud bunch of veterans that are not trying to do what Danny Ainge wants. I don't know how sustainable that is, but they're off to a great start. And they're playing the style of basketball that I haven't seen for the Jazz forever. But again, the idea that a ball club's 10-14 and they're going through struggles and Barkley says that they need to tank is nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. We're not even at Christmas yet, and it's time to unplug the team? No. Do something about it. That's what you do.
Their record, let's see, what is, where is Utah? They got off to an amazing start. They were 11-3.
They're
15-12, and they're in the sixth seed out west.
Yeah.
After getting rid of their best players.
Mm-hmm.
And their other best player hasn't been playing, Mike Conley.
Yeah. You can't use that as an example with me because we're not through the season yet. That team is going to underachieve. I like how they got off to a great start because they're a great story. But that doesn't mean that's who they are. Absolutely not. All they have, there's seven other teams that are more talented than them in the West. But they're off to a great start. I'm not doing that. I just think it's so 2022 to just do that. We're not winning. I quit.
I'm not telling you to try and lose every game. I never said that. Well, you're going to have to be willing to blow up this core. You're going to have to.
Unless
it turns around.
Not on my watch. Absolutely not. Not on my watch. Not this year. Absolutely not. We're not even to Christmas yet, and we're talking about tearing it up and just starting over again. I know what that looks like. It's a slow process in Chicago. Slow process. It is.
I don't disagree with you. It's a slow process. I just don't know what your next move is if you're not willing to trade from your core. Let me ask you something. Are you extending Vucevic? Because he's a free agent at the end of the year.
I think I could upgrade if I can. I like what he does, but I would love to be able to have a little bit more versatility in my shooting.
Then
with
you
them.
Need to trade him this winter, yeah. An expiring deal.
Yeah, if I could, like any time that you have a roster, you try to make changes. They say, I heard Stacey talk about the big three, and I know Vucevic is part of that. It'd be amazing if you could upgrade that position. You already lost that deal. You already lost that deal because Wendell Carter Jr. is something for Orlando. Wagner is something. For Orlando.
Correct. Well, you're not upgrading it by just trading one for one. You're going to have to give up good players.
You only have two other ones beside him.
I mean,
again, Patrick Williams, you don't know what he is. You have two other good players that we're talking about here.
Correct. But if I'm a team on the other end, I'm like, okay, let's see. Why don't you give me a number one pick? It's not this year because the Bulls don't have theirs unless it's top four. Why don't you give me a future number one? Why don't you give me Patrick Williams? Why don't you give me Vucevic's expiring deal? Okay, there's your upgrade. Good luck to you. And then at age 24, 25, 3 years from now, everyone's like, holy bleep, Patrick Williams looks like a really good player. Yeah, because you didn't have the patience. I don't mean you.
Yeah,
didn't have the patience to let him develop.
I get it.
That's where we're at.
That's just where I'm looking at it now. I would not do that at 10-14. I wouldn't do it. Because if that's the case, you know what they're saying in Miami? The same thing. Jimmy comes back, the team's 11-14. What's Riley doing? Tear it up. No. Absolutely not.
They're in a way better place than we are.
What? Yeah. Much warmer climate. Cap and J-Hood, cut of the day. Next.
Blue Cross, Kaplan. Now.
Captain J Hood mornings 7-10 on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Captain J Hood cut of the day, brought to you by
Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom, Matt Moore, spectacular dining experience. Get your holiday schwerve on down there and get the what?
Go, please. Go ahead.
The lobster escargot, the Newski bacon. I'm going there tomorrow. I am going to get the Newski bacon. It is so delicious. And I think I'm going bone-in filet tomorrow night. Take that.
It's the only best way to have a filet. Bone-in. Here's the Captain J cut of the day.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
He'll go back to, well, he was slow 8 months ago, so he must be slow now.
Holds that over your head, you say?
Correct.
I see. So is there any way?
Typically, I don't have to go back 8 months. I have to go back like 8 hours.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Dixon's own Mindy Kaplan with a shot at David Kaplan.
Correct.
God almighty. Don't let her do that.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, wait until you get home. Wait until that key turns in the door. When she hears that key turn.
Put a key
in. Let me tell you something. It's a metaphor. That I don't mean really. I mean people.
She greets me with a pipe and slippers and a drink. A highball.
Well, that's your hope. That's the hope she does. Get a highball for you. That's for sure. Wait until that key turns. Wait until Dad gets home. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Mindy, a minute, please. That bit on the radio. What was that all about?
I wasn't trying to be serious. Well, truth hurts.
Happy National Blue Collar Day, Cap. Today is National Blue Collar Day. Top five jobs in blue collar. You ready?
Can I guess?
You won't get any of these.
Blue collar, construction worker.
These are intricate for you. I'm not going to quiz you.
Construction worker.
No,
that's got to be on the list.
It's not a top five. I have money right here. Elevator installer is $84,000 a year.
Okay.
Blue collar job, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Power plant operator, $81,000.
Mm-hmm.
Petroleum pump system operator.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do there as a petroleum pump system operator?
You work at a full service gas station.
Yeah. $74,000. Powerhouse substation and relay technician, $71,000. Power line installer and repairer, $61,000. That's top five, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Stats.
You're dealing with power lines. You can die at any moment. You only get $61,000?
Yeah. You would think that's worth a lot more,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. Hard pass.
So for those of you that work a blue-collar job, because Cap and I don't have to.
God bless you.
Thank you very much. This is your day. So that's the top 10, at least top five as far as blue-collar jobs. Anything lately here on the, I know you're watching the baseball ticker.
I am.
Anything?
There is.
The football ticker.
Nothing yet except a very good article in the Boston Globe about a stunned Chaim Bloom sitting at the airport in San Diego in shock that he lost Xander Bogaerts. And then said he got 11 for 280. We offered 6 for 160. Yeah.
You thought that you were right there in the mix and you misjudged the market. How often does that happen for a big market team like Boston? You're not even in the same zip code. But who knew that San Diego or teams like the Texas Rangers would go above and beyond and through the nose for this talent? Cubs going to do that?
They better.
Partner, tell you what. He's got to stop taking us for granted as fans. We'll find something else to do if you
don't
want to.
That's what they do, Hoodie. They take us for granted. Get it done. All I know is it's 9:57 and 19 seconds.
Yeah.
Right now, they are no better than they were a year ago, and don't try telling me they are.
We thank you for listening and calling and twitching. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Charlie, on the other side of the glass. We're going to crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah coming up next. Thanks so much for checking us out. Join us tomorrow morning at 7. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.